This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The United States Supreme Court today heard oral argument in a case that could have far-reaching consequences for digital privacy in this country. Now, the case is Carpenter v. the United States, and it hinges on the question of whether the government needs a warrant based on probable cause to see your cell phone location data. So here's a quick summary of what happened. In 2011, Timothy Carter was convicted of a series of armed robberies in Michigan and Ohio. He was found guilty and sentenced to more than 100 years in prison. And in his original trial, prosecutors used some 127 days of cell phone location data to make their case. And they obtained the nearly 13,000 data points they used from private companies without a warrant. Now, Carpenter says that's a violation of the Fourth Amendment's prohibition against unreasonable search and seizure. Prosecutors argue that Carpenter turned over ownership of his call records to a third-party business when he signed up for his cell phone service, and therefore he has no reasonable expectation of privacy. So you can see how this case could have enormous implications for law enforcement and for digital privacy in the United States. So let's talk about it. Joining us is WBUR's legal analyst and former federal judge, Nancy Gertner. Judge Gertner, it's good to have you back
here. Good to be here.
Okay. So first of all, I mean, given the summary that I just gave, what's your take on the potential implications of this case?
Well, we have been operating under the influence of two cases that have never been reexamined. One was a case involving bank records. So somebody, the court basically said you had no privacy interest in bank records, that you had voluntarily turned them over to the bank when you banked there. And the second was a case where the court looked at what was called a pen register, which is just looking at your records, but not looking at content, just from and to. Mm-hmm. And those two cases essentially said that what is in the bank's possession and the sort of from and to line calls, you had no expectation of privacy. The government could get that with a simple subpoena. All of a sudden, the question is how the digital environment has changed that. So the notion of voluntarily turning over records to a bank, under what circumstances are we voluntarily turning over cell phone records to cell phone companies, given the ubiquity of cell phones and the digital universe? And then in addition, the notion that just, you know, the from to, just giving me a pen register that just describes from and to the calls is not the same thing as the information gleaned from examining cell phone tower information, which can give you your location relatively precisely.
Right. So this is the key difference that we see in a lot of cases, the sort of metadata.
Right.
Versus the actual data on your individual device.
Right. The court has dealt with cell phones and the information on the cell phone and has concluded that you need a search warrant because having a cell phone is like carrying the entire contents of your personal files in a briefcase.
Right. Whereas the cell phone, the data passing through the towers belongs to the company that owns the towers.
That's
right. The cell phone company.
That's right.
That's what they say. That's what prosecutors would say.
And so the notion is, have we reached a point now where it's not meaningful to say that you have voluntarily turned over information to the digital world in which we all must operate? That's number one. And to say that the information gleaned from these third-party records are no longer, you know, minor information. The amount of information they can glean from that are really the information of our lives.
Right. So, I mean, it seems as if today we're seeing reports from the oral argument. And before I dive into what was actually discussed in oral argument, I've had people here tell me that you can't really tell what the justices think based on what they ask. But it seems to, I mean, I'm seeing reports from the AP here that says that Chief Justice Roberts and the courts for liberal justices, through their questioning, seem to indicate that perhaps they'd be open to the idea of extending Fourth Amendment protections to cell phone tower information. But again, I mean, based on what the precedents that you're talking about, I'm not sure how much stock we can put into what we heard.
Well, there's no question that the court has been moving towards this moment in other cases. So, for example, recognizing that a cell phone is not just a mechanical device from which we make calls, that it includes other information, that therefore you need a search warrant for it. And then the other relevant case was a case involving a tracking device, a GPS device that was put under a car. And that was actually actually very interesting. It was put under a car, and it would then disclose where the car went. There was no probable cause to believe that the guy who was driving the car had done anything wrong. Apparently, during oral argument in that case, the justices, I've forgotten which one, began to realize that any of us could put a GPS device under anyone's car and find out where you are.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they began to realize that it's not just the cop on the beat watching where the gray car went, but it's really a torrent of information that is very different than the kind of information that we had before.
But it seems as if Justice Kennedy, for example, today was indicating that consumers already ought to know that all this information about them is out there, right? I mean, he seemed to indicate that since wireless carriers use cell phone towers in order to
right.
know where cell phones are located, that location data being so essential to what makes these devices so useful. I mean, he seemed to say that consumers should realize that their locations by definition are
right.
not private. And he said, I think almost everybody knows that, Kennedy said. And he said, if I know it, everybody does.
Well, right. But it's not just a question of whether you know that your information was turned over. The question is whether or not in a digital universe that we live in now, you have meaningfully voluntarily turned it over. So in order
some would say you read those terms of service and you have because you got to sign it.
But the question is, imagine it was one thing, you know, when the Fourth Amendment was promulgated, then you could close your door, bar your door and keep the troops out from banging the door down. You could basically protect your information physically. How do we function in today's world? The implication of this is if you don't want the cell information to be communicated, we should no longer use cell phones. If you don't want your banking records to be communicated, just don't bank. We go back to keeping the money under the bed, you know, and just use, you know, what, tin cans. So it's not just a question of what we know. It's also a question of whether it's a meaningful, voluntary turning over of information. There's a wonderful quote from Justice Roberts in the cell phone case in which he says that cell phones are now such a pervasive and insistent part of daily life that the proverbial visitor from Mars might conclude that they are part of the human anatomy. And I think that's part of it. Have we reached a point where you really cannot protect your privacy if you mean to function in the modern world?
And so that case you're referring to is the 2014 case?
Right. That's very good.
When do you get
your law degree is what I want to understand.
I have the version of a law encyclopedia with my producers here.
Okay.
But tell me, I mean, where do you think So let's just theorize here. Say the justices come out in a couple of months with a decision and they decide in favor of the government and saying that it was not a violation of Fourth Amendment for the prosecutors in the Carpenter case to use this location data. I mean, is that as sweeping a change to digital privacy laws as some people say it is?
It wouldn't be a change if they said that you didn't need a warrant. In other words, that's the status quo. The status quo is that all the government has to do is to subpoena the records and show that they're relevant and material to an ongoing criminal investigation.
So it would be an affirmation of the status quo.
Yeah, that's all. But I mean, but again, you're not talking about no access here. You're talking about access under circumstances where the police have to show probable cause to believe that they have information here that would be relevant. Probable cause is not an onerous standard, but it's clearly more than it certainly requires. It requires a warrant. It requires a judge to look at this, and it requires more work for the police. But it doesn't mean that the door is barred. Probable cause is a pretty reasonable standard.
Yeah. So it makes me wonder. I guess one of the unknown factors in terms of who's sitting on the bench right now is still Justice Gorsuch, right? I mean, is there anything from his background that we could glean on how he might rule on a case like this?
Well, it's hard to know. But again, if the GPS case is any indication, if those nine justices believe that their data can be subpoenaed or obtained without much of a showing, it might give them pause. You know, it's not like the GPS device, which essentially you didn't even need to subpoena. Someone just stuck it on the car. There was at least some showing here. But I think that ultimately, how much of this could affect all of us, not just, quote, criminals, end quote. In other words, this may be an issue that we all need to focus on. So it's hard to know. I don't think that we know anything about Justice Gorsuch actually believes in privacy. If you recall, his work is enormously anti-choice and believes that the government shouldn't interfere in the private, that the government, you know, should interfere in the private, that essentially privacy does not include the right to an abortion. Whether that privacy concept would also bleed over into this case is hard to know.
Interesting. And just as a measure of how really widespread the impact of this case could be, I'm seeing, again, some numbers here from 2016 that law enforcement officials made some 125,000 requests for cell phone location data just from Verizon and AT&T.
Right. No, I think that it... breaking open these cases, these precedents about bank records, about pen registers, would in fact have a very substantial effect on Fourth Amendment issues. Mm-hmm. Very substantial effect.
Well, Nancy Gertner is a retired federal judge and WBUR's legal analyst. And I suppose I should also mention you're a professor at Harvard Law School, but they get plenty of mentions from us. So, Judge Gertner, thank you as always.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.